I'd also like to greet all of you in Jesus' name. It's good to be here. I'm really blessed with devotions and Sunday school. And thinking about Sunday school, and, you know, all humans have to deal with the beginning, where did man come from, and the end, where is everything going individually, what happens when your life ends, and then for humanity. And, no one is exempt from that. They try and figure it out. But for believers, we have a God, an all-powerful God that created everything. And then in the end, we have this God with his hand outstretched to us, says, I'm going to save you from this mess that you guys have made through his son Jesus. And then I think that just goes real well with Nord's devotions. Really appreciate his devotions and how, for in between here, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's as we look to him, as we trust in him, he is there for us, and it's a huge blessing. So just really appreciated studying the Word of God this morning, and like to continue doing that. If you'd like to open to Matthew chapter 11, I'll be reading some verses out of there and sharing some thoughts. So Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 25, it says, At this time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. And first question right off might be, what things? And just previous to this, he's talking about, in verse 20 it says, Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. And I think it's talking about that, but I personally think that it's talking about all the things that Jesus said. All of Jesus' teachings could be connected to this, where it says, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank thee, because thou hast hid these things from wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. So I believe it's all of Jesus' teachings. Continuing on, verse 26, Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So, thinking about Sunday school here, all things were delivered unto Jesus. He has all power, all dominion. And just a thought that came to me this morning is that, you know, we just read the account in creation where Adam was given all dominion, dominion over the earth. I shouldn't say all dominion, dominion over the earth. But Jesus is the second Adam. And so Jesus comes and says, all things are delivered unto me. I guess the thought I have is I believe all things, all dominion is back in the hands of Jesus where it belongs, no longer just simply in mankind, to do whatever mankind feels like, to rule however he wants. The ultimate authority is back with Jesus, and we need to make sure that we're submitting to him as we exercise dominion under him. We can't do that independent of him, and I don't think God is blessing that any longer in that sense. So, continuing on, verse 28, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So, at the end of verse 27, Jesus says that whomsoever the Son will reveal him will know the Father. And then right after that, he gives an invitation. He says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I believe previously here, as a read those verses, it said that this isn't going to be for the earthly wise. This isn't going to be for the arrogant, the proud, the strong in that sense. It's going to be for those that are humble, and he invites them. He says, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's a wonderful verse, and then a wonderful thought just to come and get rest. People want rest. They long for rest. And there's an invitation here. And at first it sounds like you come to him and he will just give it to you and you'll just have immediate rest. And I believe that's true in the sense that when your sins are forgiven, there's a burden that rolls away. There's a rest that comes there. But how does this apply to how we actually live day in and day out? We have that rest that is given, but there's a continued rest, a rest in the way we live. And so I didn't give this message a title, but maybe we could talk about, just call it how to live. How to live in this rest, how to work out of this rest. So he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And so I don't think necessarily it's those that labor. Just come unto me, everybody who labors, and I'll give you rest so you don't have to labor anymore. That would sound kind of nice and attractive, but I don't believe that's what he's saying here. He puts the two together. Those that labor and are heavy laden. Your workload is heavy. It's wearing you out. It's driving you into the ground. It's the continuation of that curse that happened way back. The ground is cursed. Jesus invites to come and labor. He invites these people that are laboring, I would say, in the wrong way. And he says, I will give you rest. And then right after he says, I will give you rest, in verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you. So he's saying, I'm going to give you rest. It'd be like me saying to these guys up here, hey, I want to give you guys a break. Now, everybody grab a shovel. You'd be like, whoa, this is kind of weird. How's this going to work? We're supposed to rest, and he's handing me a shovel. Jesus says, I'm going to give you rest. But then he says, take my yoke upon you. And a yoke is a tool that was put on an animal for work. It's something that they put on so that they could actually do something, so that they could actually work. And he says, but then he describes this yoke. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So he describes his yoke as easy, and he says, and my burden is light. So how does this work? Well, I already mentioned that this yoke is a tool. It's actually a tool used to do work. It's a tool used to labor, and it's going to give you rest, but not the type of rest that necessarily we're thinking of when we think of rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So you read verse 28, it sounds like he's just going to give you this thing called rest. Like, here's rest. But how can you actually give something like that? You just, like I said, forgiveness of sins, there's a change, there's a relief, there's this freedom, there's a burden rolled away. But to just give somebody rest, how can you give somebody rest? Well, I think it happens in verse 29 where he says, that learn of me. I'll show you how you can have rest as you labor. I'll show you how you can have rest, and you're going to have to learn it from me. It's not as common anymore, but I'm sure it still goes on. But people that learn new trades, you know, they used to have this apprenticeship type thing where a younger person would go work with an older person that was skilled at a trade, and they would learn it from that person by working with them, asking questions, and copying them, and just seeing how they do things. My first thoughts, even though I'm not a mason, I think of laying bricks or something like that's what I picture. And so at first it's just the person might come not knowing hardly anything but have a desire, they want to learn this trade. And so they watch this older person, and they learn from him day in and day out. And they, like I said, they might ask questions, but at first a lot of just copying going on. Oh, okay, that's how you do that. Okay, I'm going to watch him, I'm going to do that. Okay, that makes sense. And you're copying and you're copying. But eventually, over time, that apprentice person, I think, I didn't look this up, but I think you become a journeyman eventually, where you are considered like the person that taught you. You're trained. It's who you are. You know. You no longer need to look at somebody else all the time. You no longer need to always copy in that sense. And so I don't believe we will never get to the point where we don't need to always be looking at Jesus, but we need to come to a place where it starts to become more of who you are. Think of the verse, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I think there's a lot more to that, but it's Christ in you. It's like you're becoming more like Christ rather than just mimicking him. You are starting to be like him and think like him and act like him in the things that you do, just like a mason would eventually become. It's just, he just knows. He just, this is how you do it. This is how you lay block. When we were up in Bay Tree, a guy named Steve Overholt gave some devotions, and he talked about the thing, what would Jesus do? And he looked at it a little bit differently. What would Jesus think? He didn't say that we shouldn't be doing, but people that think like Jesus are going to do things like Jesus. There's a difference between just copying, just going through motions, and becoming more like Christ. So take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And then he says the key to how Jesus lived his life. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. So if the one is going to teach you how to have rest, says, first thing I'm going to tell you is I'm meek. As a man, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Wouldn't you think that that's what we should also be looking to or be wanting to be like, recognize that we need that? The expectations that we have are different when you're meek and lowly in heart. Jeff recently gave a message on being meek, and it's a total different view of life. Rather than being proud and strong in the sense that you're out to promote yourself, you're a meek person that's out to promote the kingdom of God. You're a meek person that's ready and fit to be useful for the kingdom of God. The work that you're doing is for the king, and what's ironic about that is you receive the rest. You receive the blessing by doing that. The others do not. So they don't have rest. They are seeking, it says in Matthew 5 or 6, the Gentiles chase after these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You chase it, you fight for it, you're not going to get it. You think about money in that sense. A lot of people are chasing money. They get lots of money, but money possesses them. The other way around is when you are in resting in Christ, the things that you get are full, they're meaningful, and you're in charge of them, not they being in charge of you. So the key there, I believe he gives, is I am meek and lowly in heart. I'd like to just pause for a minute here and flip over and read Psalm 23, thinking about, I know most of you probably have this memorized, but just think about this person, that this Jesus who's inviting you, inviting us, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I believe Psalm 23 is a picture of this person that is inviting you to be a yoke fellow with him, to take his yoke upon you. And this is the type of person that we would be entrusting our lives to. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Just think about how positive this is. The Christian life, is the Christian life a benefit? Is the Christian life a good life? Or is it a bad life? As I said when I first started, everybody has to deal with this beginning. Where did everything come from? And everybody has to deal with this end. Where's everything going? But also, everybody has to live life. Everybody has to live in this fallen world and deal with all the things that we deal with. Sickness, pain, suffering, all those things. So does Jesus give us a help in that, or does he just say, just get by and look at the end, you're going to go to heaven and that's it? Or does he give us anything that helps us to live this life? Is there any benefit in being a Christian other than that you go to heaven? Well, I believe there's much, and this is why, talking about these verses, how to live. Jesus teaches us how to live in rest in the midst of a fallen world. So continuing on here, just think about how good this shepherd is and how much he cares for his sheep. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Which actually, this word rest is actually the word to restore, to refresh. So that's what Jesus is offering. He's not saying, I'm going to give you a long vacation where you don't have to do anything. He said, I'm going to refresh you. I'm going to give you this type of rest. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which would be, I believe many people think that that is literally about going through death, dying, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And in this verse, the verses we're reading here, instead of a rod and staff, you could picture being yoked with Jesus, hooked together with him, and he's right there with you. Because he's with you, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So, thinking again about this rest, is we don't live in a little bubble. We don't live in this restful, peaceful little bubble. It's wonderful that we can come on a Sunday like this, in a sense, in kind of a bubble here of peace. We're not having to deal with the elements. We're not having to deal with chaos of the world. We don't have TVs blaring. We don't have things like that. So we are able to come into this kind of, in a sense, a bubble, but we don't live in here. We can't just stay here forever. We get refreshed. We get restored here, but we don't live in here. And so verse 5 in Psalm 23, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So they're right there. They're around us. But he prepares a table. We can sit down and eat in the presence of all this chaos. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So a very positive scripture there, very common one, but it's sometimes hard to see that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If we're looking at our external conditions, we would basically have to say that verse is wrong. But if we're looking at the big picture, if we're looking at being yoked to Jesus and how he's working in our lives, and then that last part, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is the end. That is the direction where we are going, is in that sense, that rest. But is there rest in between for our souls? Or do we just try and get by and get there? I believe that he gives us this rest. Thinking a little bit further about this yoke, for my yoke is easy. I like to picture Jesus, even though I don't totally know exactly what this yoke looked like. But for each individual, picturing Jesus making this actual yoke, trying to make it, and he's perfect, so obviously it fit perfectly, so that it fits just right. So that as you go through this life, you can have this on you, this thing that will actually be comfortable. It will help you do your labor. It will help you do your work. It will give you rest as you're working. And just that he's giving us this invitation here, that he wants us to have this. And I just thought of, if you ever put on a real lousy, heavy backpack versus a real nice, heavy backpack, there's just a world of difference. And Jesus cares enough. He wants this yoke to fit on you comfortably. He's not saying that the load goes away or the burden is totally gone or the labor is totally gone, but he's saying, I want to help you through this life, and you're going to need my yoke. My yoke is the easiest. My yoke is the lightest, and it is the best way to get you through here. And like I say, it's not a magic thing. It's still involving work. That word in verse 30, for my yoke is easy. I don't know Greek, but I, looking up in the Strong's, there's a lot of words that explain that. One of them was useful. Some were, easy, useful, purposeful. And so one point I want to bring out in this is that your labor is not in vain. Scripture says that. Do not grow weary in well-doing. And then I don't think it's that verse. Another verse says, for your labor is not in vain. So, thinking about being unequally yoked, if you had two people, one that's living for Jesus and somebody who's not, plowing a field, half of that's is in vain. The world is plowing in total vanity. The crop that they're trying to harvest will not last. The work that they're doing is useless. It ultimately is useless and it will not last. But the work that you do for Jesus is useful, it's purposeful, it has meaning. And so being unequally yoked like that, you can see the picture there, it just doesn't make sense. It'd be like, you know, one person is planting weeds and another person is planting wheat. And side by side, they're working together, toiling, but they're doing the total opposite. Their ultimate purposes are different. Their ultimate goals are different. So to me, that makes a clear picture of why we shouldn't should not be unequally yoked in that sense. And then that word, my burden is light. I believe that's the only place in the Bible that that word is used, light. We usually think of light in the sense of light. We talked about that in Sunday school. But this is like, if you look up in the Strong's also, it has the words to push or light. And so you picture being able to move a heavy weight in a simpler, easier way than normal. If you think about a yoke, imagine trying to move a heavy load. I'm talking about a lot of things I don't know much about, so if you guys, if I say something stupid, you'll just have to forgive me. But like horse pulls or tractor pulls, but thinking about a horse pull, you know, they pull these enormous amounts of weight, but they're going to have to be strapped in a very efficient way, or the animal's not going to be able to do it. Imagine a horse harnessed up, pulling a heavy load, and everything's set up just right, and it's able to do it. And now just picture maybe just tying one rope around its neck and throwing it over its back to that same load. It's going to choke. It's going to be painful. The work isn't going to get done. And so this burden, there's still a burden. The burden doesn't go away, but it's light in the sense that it's able to be done. It's able to be pushed or pulled. So life is able to be lived in this manner. So think about, we talk a lot about discipling people, teaching them how to live for Christ. In the end of Matthew chapter 28, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So teaching them whatsoever I've commanded you. We talk a lot about discipleship, discipling. Well, are we teaching people just how to do things? Just copy this. Don't think much about it. Just keep copying, and it works, so just keep copying. Or are we teaching them to be like Jesus, to try and find that rest that's in Him as you live, to live, in a sense, in that rest? Two pictures of rest. Well, there's just different views of rest, and I'll share two quick stories. I remember one time talking with Owen. I wish he was here because he could tell me if I'm remembering this right. But we were talking about heaven one time, and we had two totally different views on rest. And as I studied this, I think Owen's was actually more accurate. I said, you know, I can't wait to get to heaven because I think I'd like to sleep for about 2,000 years. And that was kind of my view. And he shook his head and he said, no. He said, you don't have to sleep in heaven. That's what's going to be so great. You just go. And that was kind of his picture of getting to rest. And I think his is a little more appealing. I don't know if I was just tired that day or what. But another book I read, this guy was trying to describe this type of rest that Jesus gives. And he said two artists painted two pictures to represent rest. And the one drew a lake, a high mountain lake, beautiful mountains, just a serene picture, and that was his picture of rest. Everything's still. This other person drew a rushing waterfall with a little birch branch coming out near the waterfall, and on that branch is a robin's nest, and the robin is sitting there resting in its nest while all the while this roaring water is going by. And I think that for life here on earth, life now, that second picture is a picture of this rest that Jesus offers us. It's not an escape. It's not, go hide and get away from everything. It's something that Jesus can offer you, and I believe it's a lot like what Norv shared there, is that spirit that He has given us, that spirit that's not of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But that's the spirit that enables us to look to Jesus. And I just keep coming back to this picture of being harnessed in with Jesus right by you. And it's not that He's pulling you along doing everything for you, or, I mean, if that would be the picture, you might as well get on his back and just ride. But he's saying, take my yoke upon you, and we'll get some purposeful, meaningful work done together, and this is going to be the easiest, the lightest way for you to get through this life. So I had a feeling that'd be a short message, but that is all that I had. So I hope that something in that spoke to you. And I want that rest. And as I studied this, I thought that phrase there, verse 29, learn of me. I just want to say I'm still learning. I don't have this rest like that. I have forgiveness of sins. I believe that. And I have great peace because of Jesus being my Savior. But I'll just admit that I don't have this rest to the level that I should. I still, get nervous about things, get concerned about things. So I want to keep learning of Jesus, and I hope that I can point others to do that. I don't want people just to say little catchphrases and think that's the Christian life. Like, if you're having a hard time, well, just pray or whatever. Think positive. I want to actually be more like Christ. I want to be changed. I want to have that rest that is in me and that Jesus offers here. But I do think it's a learning process. I can't, like in school, you can't just, some of the students were, it happens a lot, but they just wish you could just download all the information and then go play soccer, right? Come in and take a test and go back out. Well, it doesn't work that way. Seems like it'd be nice, but it obviously must not be the right way, or God would have chosen to do that for us. But we have to learn this, and that's my desire, to learn to rest better, to learn to work with Jesus' yoke, being what I'm working with, the tool, and to live more Christ-like. So let's bow our heads for prayer.